The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus began speaking in the synagogue at Nazareth, saying, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke of him highly. They were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. And they asked, "Is this not the son of Joseph?" And he said to them, "Surely you will quote me the proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here what you have done in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. And again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were filled with fury. They rose up and drove him out of town and led him to the brow of the hill on which the town had been built in order to hurl him over headlong. But Jesus passed through their midst and he went away. The Gospel of the Lord. This Gospel reading from chapter 4 in the book of Luke is a continuation of last Sunday's Gospel. And it's difficult enough to understand the impact of the text we have today without somehow attaching it to the whole narrative about Jesus speaking in the synagogue at Nazareth. So last Sunday I spoke about the word that Jesus proclaimed from the prophet Isaiah, and today, having finished explaining that word, he comes in today's text to say, "This scripture passage is fulfilled in your presence today." He was rejected at Nazareth, his hometown, and he will leave Nazareth and go to Capernaum, which is about 20 miles away on the Sea of Galilee, and he will not go back to Nazareth again. Leaves his hometown. He is so disillusioned with the suffocating restrictions which they have in the manner in which they believe and the manner in which they live. So let me look at this. Paul Tillich, this extraordinary theologian, in his great work, Systematic Theology, he speaks about three levels of consciousness. Consciousness meaning the three levels in which we respond in a conscious way, we respond to God's revelation. And the first one, he says, is heteronomy. Nomos in Greek means the way. Hetero means the other. In theology, this means an uncritical submission to an outside authority. Now, the elders among us will be familiar with this. I grew up with this. The uncritical submission to an authority or a law cannot be questioned, cannot be challenged. It has to be accepted in its fullness without any limitation. That's heteronomy. It has a value. It tends to emphasize establishment language, keeping the law. It has in it this statement about an obligation. And if you keep the law, that is what it means to be spiritual and to be religious, the manner in which you will live. It will also emphasize the notion of merit, to qualify for belonging to a spiritual way revealed in Jesus Christ. You must keep the law. The law becomes the dominant point of discussion and awareness. And clearly, Paul Tillich says, this is an underdeveloped approach and it has great limitations in it in terms of responding to divine revelation. The second level of consciousness that Tillich speaks about is autonomy, autonomos. Autonomy meaning, I'm free, I don't care, I'll make up my own mind, I don't need anybody's advice. And that is its weakness. It tends to emphasize a certain arrogant ego disposition. So that's not enlightened. And sometimes we meet that. People say, well, I'll make up my own mind, I don't need advice, I don't need anybody's wisdom, elders are gone. I live in a new world. That's autonomy. That's the second level in which people may respond to God's revelation. The third one is theonomy. Theos, meaning God. Nomos, meaning the way. This is to respond to God's revelation by living in the presence of God. To be conscious of living in God's presence. Now notice in last Sunday's gospel, Jesus says he is sent, he's quoting the prophet Isaiah, to bring good news to the poor. The Greek word for poor, dohos, means every kind of poor, the people who are confused, the people who are blind, lame, struggling, those who are shut out, those who are unwelcome. They are dohos in the Greek. So he is sent to bring good news to all those who feel impoverished. The lonely, the empty, the excluded, the misunderstood. Bring good news to them. The prisoners, he will set prisoners free. Give sight to the blind. Declare a year of favor from the Lord. This is a year in which all is forgiven and God speaks in infinite love. That's the third level. Now notice that Jesus says he is sent to those who have nothing to give him. The prisoners don't have anything to offer. The blind, the lame, and so on, they're needful people, they're broken people, they're empty people. Jesus comes to bring good news to those who are impoverished in whatever way you'll find in your life. That's the good news. The good news is not that you have earned this or that you shall merit this. The good news is that it's a free gift that can only be understood by those who are impoverished. So for the person that's full of himself or full of herself and thinks they have all the answers, you will not understand God's revelation as Luke presents it here in chapter 4. Unless you have experienced darkness and struggle and emptiness and poverty, unless you see yourself as a needful person, you won't understand the good news spoken about in chapter 4 in the Gospel of Luke. This is the mission of Jesus. Not for those who are converted, but for those who are struggling. And it's in the experience of being loved that transformation happens. Chapter 14 in John's Gospel said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You must love first. Love is transformative. Keeping the law, that's an external thing. It doesn't transform your heart or your spirit. Love is transforming. That's the message. If you experience the love of Jesus Christ, if you walk in the presence of God, not so much attached to the institution is merely an instrument to reveal God's presence in Jesus Christ. So don't marry the institution. That's what Luke says. Connect with the person of Jesus Christ, and everything else will fall into place. Now you will understand the instrument we'll call an institution, which is meant to reveal God's infinite love. Without an experience, a deep, profound, and personal experience of God's infinite love in Jesus Christ, we will not be transformed. We will not change. We might keep the law, we might do everything proper, but our soul, the heart, the deep inner person will not be converted except through an experience of God's love in Jesus Christ. That's why the emphasis is on following Jesus Christ. As an empty person, ready to be filled up with the gift of unmerited infinite love. Love is transformative. Let me give you a small example. In a human form, sometimes we remember stories. And this happened some years ago while I was here at Holy Family. And this young lady, I knew her when she was a baby. I baptized this girl, she grew up, and now she was 27 years old. Beautiful California girl, living at the beach, had the suntan, personality, everything. And she's praying to find a good man to marry. That happens sometimes when you're 27 years old. You're saying, my God, what's my future? Well, she'd come up, Katie would come up here from the beach. She lived in an apartment with two other young women, and she told me they had a Bible study in their apartment every Wednesday night. I said, oh my God. I mean, as a teenager, she didn't go to church. She didn't have anything to do. No, they have a Bible study in their apartment every Wednesday night. I said, God, Jesus is present, you know. So, but she's still looking for this man. So she'd come up, and I'd take her out to lunch, and she'd say, I'm looking for a good Catholic man. I said, Katie, I'm praying with you. Be patient. The Lord will take care of you. You'll be okay. Months passes, no good Catholics. I mean, a lot of terrible guys. I meet them. They're you know, bad news. Where is this good Catholic man we're praying for? And I said, no, Katie, I'm still praying. We're praying. So after a couple of months of prayer like this, the guy hadn't shown up. I said, now, Katie, why don't we just pray for a good man? Doesn't have to be Catholic. She said, I like Catholic. No, no, don't worry about the Catholic part. Let's just pray for a good man. So now we're praying for the good man, whether he's Catholic or Buddha, I don't care. We just want a good man. A couple of months later, she called me, and I knew that the phone was on fire. I just knew that she was in love. I mean, God, I have to see you. Okay. So, come up to see me. And she was skiing up in Mammoth. And she met this fellow, and he really liked her. And he seemed like a very nice guy. And they met a couple of times, and he was from Orange County. She was living down at the beach. They went out together. She said, oh, my God. I think God answered my prayer, so I've got to come to see you. I said, come on up. She was transformed, not because she was in love, but because she was loved, because she was chosen. When you're chosen and when you're assured that somebody loves you, you will be transformed. Then you will respond in a manner that keeping the law has nothing to do with it. Eventually, they got married. I married them. They have three kids, and I'm in touch with them. They don't live here. They live up north. But I hear from them all the time. Interestingly, he became a Catholic after about 10 years of marriage. He went through the RSA in his parish. They're very involved in their parish. So it's a story that's meant to tell us that transformation is going to happen in your life if you have an experience, a profound personal experience of being loved. That's when transformation happens, not keeping the law. So the teaching of the Word of God, walk in the presence of Jesus Christ. Walk in the presence of God. Get this sense that as you journey through this day, you're in the presence of God. God has blessed you. Count your blessings. Consider the people who love you, signs of God's love for you. Think about the people who forgive you, who are patient with you, signs of God's love for you. Think of the one who is faithful to you, the one you can trust in your life. Signs of God. Get this sense. I don't want to talk too long here. This is in the spiritual exercise of Ignatius, that 30-day retreat. The last exercise is called Contemplation on the Attainment of God's Love. And this is an extraordinary moment if you go through this 30 days of silence and 30 days of prayer and aloneness and all that, and you get to the last day. Oh my God, this is fantastic. So Ignatius sends you out in the morning. Contemplation on the attainment of God's love. So he says, now look at the mountains. Oh, the mountains were there thousands of years ago. They will be there after I'm gone. The immutable, eternal presence of God reflected in the mountains. Look into the heavens. See the infinite heavens and feel God's presence, the immensity of God, the Creator God in the heavens. Look at the birds of the air, the beauty of creation. Listen to the singing birds. Take your shoes off if you wish. I love to take my shoes off. Walk on the earth. Walk in the grass. Connect with the universe. See the trees that are growing. See the beauty of God's creation around you. Get this sense you're in the presence of God. And then Ignatius will lead you to say, think of the people in your life. The people who are kind to you, forgave you, understood you. People who walked with you in your life. Go back, think about your parents, your grandparents who sacrificed. Who in your life sacrificed for you? Wow. God speaks to me in the most ordinary ways of life. It's not keeping a law. It's belonging to the person of Jesus Christ. That's what is transformative. And that's what the people of Nazareth did not understand. And therefore, Jesus moved to Capernaum. Now, why he picked Capernaum is another homily. But keep this in mind. Get this sense that I am in the presence of God. And God's infinite love is given to me freely, without merit, without judgment, without cost. That's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Amen.